Would we just meander through life with no direction?
Probably, because it's how we are as human beings in our flesh.
Would we just be stuck trying to figure this all out on our own? I think it is true. Mm-hmm. We would be stuck. But that's why we have the biblical worldview question of the week, to get an understanding of what it is when we look at God's word and when we look at the culture and how we react in it, and we answer the questions that are tough and hard-hitting. Right?
Right.
Well, who's there to do that with us?
That was quite a build-up to Nancy Fitzgerald with the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week from Anchors Away. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. I thought you were talking about Tucker Carlson or somebody like that. Oh, boy. I was kind of disappointed that it ended up being me, but...
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, thank you for that amazing intro.
Well, we've got a pretty heavy concept of a question today. Are Messianic Jews Christians? Where did this come from, this question?
Well, you know, I met a young lady who needed a little bit of encouragement coming out of a Messianic Gentile, believe it or not, family that was extremely centered on the commandments of ruling over the father, ruling over the family, paralyzing the family pretty much. So just was able to share the gospel with her and all of this. So I got into studying Messianic Christianity and I found it amazing and would like to share some of what I found with all of us, because it's a beautiful, beautiful story of Jews coming to the saving Christ of Jesus. So often we think that they miss the message. About thousands and thousands of Jews come to Christ every day, making them completed Jews or Messianic Jews. So I thought it would be a good thing for us to take a look at this and just celebrate what God is doing in the Jewish nation.
Well, yeah, and just reading through this, Nancy, too, and just from talking with people myself, I mean, we know that the Christian faith requires that all believe that Jesus is God. And there is no exception to that, right? Is there any at all to whom God extends this invitation?
No. You know, the Christian faith requires that all believers, you know, all believe that Jesus is God. And he proved it through the resurrection from the dead. I mean, all true Christians embrace this truth. Now, many claim to be Christians, but unless they believe that Jesus Christ is God, in this case we're going to be talking about, is the Messiah, the coming Savior, as we see in the Old Testament. And it's for all who believe, including Jews and Gentiles. And keep in mind that God desires that no one perish, but all have eternal life in heaven forever. So we see this in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, and this is the gospel that I delivered to you of first importance. This is in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and he raised again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So that is it. That is the foundation for the Jews and the Christians alike. The key difference here that the Jews step into is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the new piece for the Jews.
Well, then what does that word mean, right? Messianic. Explain the significance of what the word messianic actually refers to, and what does it mean to be a Messianic Jew?
Yes, well, God's invitation to believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Messianic comes from that word Messiah, meaning Savior. Again, it extends to all people regardless of their race, ethnicity, or religious upbringing. And we need to keep in mind here that the invitation is really to the Gentiles. Jesus was a Jew, and the Jews were the primary followers of Jesus. And they were writers of the New Testament. It was the Jews who made up the first church. And you realize Peter, you know, was the head of the first church that started right after the resurrection of Jesus. And he was cowering in a room one day and the next room proclaiming Jesus to be the Messiah for the first church, which numbered right around 3,000. And to this day, there are many Jews accepting Jesus as their Savior, along with Gentiles. So let's remember the roots of Christianity. They're very Jewish.
Oh, yeah. I want to kind of jump forward a little bit here, Nancy, too, because I would love for you to explain so we can understand it clearly. And I've been curious about this myself, just because when you look into the heritage of Jewish people, it is so rich. But here's what I want to know. What our heritage, too, as Christians, our salvation has come by the Jews, therefore is rich as well. But what is the difference in practice of Christianity between a Messianic Jew and other believers?
Yeah, and that's a great thing. Actually, I would encourage people to go to a Messianic church service sometime and just experience. I know in Indianapolis, Jeff Adler has his church. But unlike Gentile believers, most Messianic Jews also keep Jewish culture. They keep some of their traditions. They keep the fundamental principles of Judaism alive. It's their blend of these things that makes them as diverse as many denominations within the Christian faith. But they no longer believe, and this is so critical we get this, they no longer believe that following the commandments or observing the Jewish holy days will save them. Now, they still focus on the commandments and they on trying to be that good person, so to speak, and they do enjoy observing the Jewish days, but the Messianic Jews know that this does not save them. It's interesting. Paul wrote about this in Galatians 3 when he said, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.'" And what he is saying here is, look, the book of the law was not written, the Ten Commandments, to save you. And he goes on to say here, clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God because righteousness will live in faith. The law is not based on faith. To the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. So what all this is saying in Galatians 3, you can go back and read it, but the commandments were never meant to save us. They were meant to show us the holiness of God and, frankly, our need for a Savior.
That is so important. So those core beliefs, though, share with us specifically maybe one or two of those core beliefs, like, you know, the Abrahamic covenant and things. So what are those core beliefs?
Yes. Well, there is, they believe in both the Old and the New Testaments. But the emphasis is on the history of the Jewish nation, God's covenant with Abraham, you know, that beautiful piece where he takes Abraham out and says, you know, from your seed will come, you know, a nation, and included in that is the Messiah. So they talk about these things in the commandments that God gave to Moses, you know, and they also practice baptism by immersion to celebrate the believer's acceptance and confession of their faith in Jesus the Messiah. So in many ways, they mirror the other Christian denominations, but the history and the holy days are very much, very, very much a part of it. And because of Genesis 17, all Jewish believers have to be circumcised, And they also, many of them, follow the traditions of observing the Sabbath on Friday night through Saturday night because of the commandment that God gave to Moses to keep the Sabbath holy. So those are a few of their core beliefs that might be different from Gentile.
Well, I know there are also some pretty extreme differences, too, between groups of Messianic believers themselves. And, you know, push the Gentiles aside for a minute and just look at the groups of the Messianic believers. Help us understand some of those differences and why those may exist.
Yes, well, we talked about, you know, the traditions and celebrating the holy days and in the basic foundations of the Old Testament covenants and all of this. But Messianic groups of believers vary significantly from group to group on how they celebrate those things. And some of them, actually, the majority of them are very liberal and loosely adhere to Jewish law. While on the other hand, other end of the spectrum, some groups are cult-like in their control of others by invoking Old Testament mandates. For example, they look down on women. Women are just to be obedient. Women in some of these different communities do not have a voice, and that's extreme. And it's honestly a bit cult-like by the way they function, so which leads to very unhealthy spiritual growth and extreme pride. And they typically are very judgmental of other churches and other Messianic congregations that don't agree with them. So that is the other end of the spectrum. But thankfully, they are in the minority.
So then how then can we look at our Jewish friends and as Christians best share our faith and our belief in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the one who will bring them into the presence of God? How do we share that faith with them?
You know, that's a great question, Steve, and it's one we have to keep in mind, not only when we share our faith with our Jewish friends, but also with other people who are not believers or those people who are in cults, because the foundation of all cults is, and so many people that are confused that come out of the Jewish faith who are Jewish, this idea of that you have to obey the law. So our main goal initially should not be to persuade your Jewish friend that Jesus is the Messiah. You know, it's so interesting. We want to know how to best share our faith, and the answer is that I got this from the Dare to Share Ministries. I love the way they frame this. When they say, well, actually, your main goal initially should not be to persuade them that Jesus is the Messiah. Your conversation is a means to an end. And that end is that they must see that they cannot ever keep God's law perfectly. In other words, following the law doesn't make them righteous. The only thing that makes them righteous is for God to die for their sins, you know, and he will give you a position of righteousness when you believe, and your sins, the penalty of it is death. And this is the beautiful thing about the death and resurrection when we believe. But here, the idea is to get them to start thinking about this, that they must see they cannot keep God's law perfectly. It's not good enough to do their best. God requires perfection. He requires righteousness. And because of that fact, our goal is to get our friends to the point where they know that God will not overlook their failures or forgive them based on their mitzvot, which means good deeds. Show them that God requires the shedding of blood to forgive sin. And you can find this in Leviticus 17, you know, which is why the Messiah, Jesus, came to earth 2,000 years ago. So there is a beautiful way to share through Leviticus and in many, many places. If you, that's one thing we do in Anchors the Way, is we go through the scriptures and show the prophecies of the coming Messiah. There are over, 2,000 prophecies in the Bible, and we've got 333 of them in the Old Testament itself pointing to the Messiah. So again, just causing your Jewish friends to begin to thinking, wow, this Messiah, this Jesus, he is the one that will forgive me of my sins. And I don't know, I'm sure many of the readers have read this book, but Nabil Quresh's book on Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, A Devout Muslim's Encounter with Christianity, is probably, in my opinion, one of the best books to read about what it means to walk alongside of a friend and having discussions with them over a period of time. And I love this book mainly because it took a long time for these two guys in this book to, they always remained friends, but it was a gentle persuasion of asking good questions that caused Nabil eventually to come to Christ and be a voice, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. So that's our challenge, to love others well, even those who are our Jewish friends and they don't understand what it means to be a Christian, how cool it is. A great suggestion here by Derisher to talk about following the law does not make you righteous. The only one that makes us righteous is Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. I loved this today, Nancy, because you know you look at the Jewish people. We have so much to learn from them, and as we who are saved, as those who belong to Christ, they have much to learn from us. God has made us to need each other, and I think that is a beautiful thing. If you'd like to get connected with the ministry of Anchors Away and Nancy Fitzgerald and learn more about biblical worldview, you can click on the resources tab at kellyandsteve.org, or you can go to anchorsaway.org. But join us again next Tuesday when Nancy comes back with another biblical worldview question of the week. We love you, lady. Thank you for this.
Hey, thank you.